Chapter 5, 6 weeks south of Texas. After the Providence incident, Jack Kerouac stayed with the Rose, building up a complex variety of energized gases into worlds and intelligences to match her own, but his whole being could not engage, and he admitted he felt the lack of edge which comes from playing the real thing. One day it could be both simpler and more exciting for you, Jack, the Rose assured him. After almost a week of this, a Kittikin tapped at the door with news of a visitor at the courtyard gate. His name, said the Kittikin, was Captain Quelch, and, fingertips to tittering mouth, he was a white man. Jack Karakwazian's instinct was to refuse an interview. It was unseemly for whites to demand such sudden courtesies. But if this was the same Quelch who had also left his card at the terminal, then he guessed he was ready to confront him. The presence of the Rose was a comfort. For some reason I am nervous of this proud whitey, he admitted to the Rose. The Rose seemed only amused, and so the lantern-jawed, hook-nosed Captain Quelch was admitted. His skin was white as an alligator's belly. He swaggered in with the most condescending air, as if he were their master. His hands were silvery, multi-hued like the scales of a dying fish. He offered one of each to his hosts. He was used to power. His old grey and gold leathers were scarred and splashed from a thousand battles, and his face was lined with the evidence of a million betrayals. But his pallid blue bloodshot eyes were humorous, as if he took relish from the situation, anticipating some of the uncertainty Jack Kerouac must feel when confronted by such an apparition as himself. Stepped over from the second ether and still chewing off traces of spectral dust, large as life, saluting and chewing on an old cheroot, the image of his V original. Or was he the original? Well, my dears, quid hoc sibi vult, eh? Good evening to you. I'm Quelch of the Linear B. It's not often I put into New Orleans, always hated the place and got out as soon as I could. You people like red tape too much for my taste. He kissed the Rose's hand and winked. For all its Latin quotation and hearty equity, its louche charm, Jack Kerouac found the man's manner disagreeably insolent. Good evening, Captain Quelch, and where would you be from and on what business here? Captain Quelch laughed. You know as well as I am that I am from Old Ridge, chief clerk of the Singularity, secretary to the Central Ethic, guardian of the Great Desk, will of the original insect. You know that, sir. I tore apart whole scales to come here. You must have seen the wounds I made. The powerful shall devour the weak. I am the levelling scythe of the second ether. I will not waste my time on your children's strategies. What business, sir, indeed? As deadly as your own, sir, believe me. Mr. Kerouac knows almost nothing as yet of our second ether, softly said the Rose. At this, Captain Quelch relaxed, unbuttoned his uniform tunic, took off his cap and sat down in an easy chair on the other side of the brackets. Is that a flagon of Aykroyd's I see yonder? The Rose did not seem at all dismayed. She poured the strange white man a drink. He smiled at her as he put the lips to his glass. As he put the glass to his lips, his eyes intimate for a second or two. Jack Kerouac considered the extraordinary likelihood that they had once been lovers. This made him even more uneasy, though he continued to trust the Rose. Why are you here, Captain Quelch? She replaced the stopper of the decanter. She was not welcoming. Quelch delicately relished his drink. Quis sepit obit? I was passing through, my dear, and had heard you were presently in New Orleans. I had it in mind to look at some new recruits and to take a glance at yours if you had the fortune to pick any. I am not impressing this player or any other, Captain Quelch. That has never been my practice, and you know it. Mr. Kerouac is not a recruit, and neither has he chosen to play the game of time. We field only volunteers. You would do well to return to your proper sphere, sir, and remember your situation. Here you breathe the same air as the living. Here you are merely tolerated. You are abhorrent, sir, You defy our laws. Oh, madam. Pardon a poor zombie for paying a sentimental call on one of his old home haunts, where he hoped to derive a little comfort from a more fortunate sister. Captain Quelch was laughing. You are pompous today, Rose. Not yourself at all. This last was clearly a barb, but Jack Caraquisian did not understand it. Will you banish me, Rose, back to my native hell, our common ground? Will you exorcise me, Rose, or slay me with a spell as you slew Gaynor? Or seek the help of those diabolical machinois as you did when poor, unsuspecting Paul Minkt sought to play a hand against you? He was never in your class, Rose. Few are. Jack Caraquisian found the white man more intelligent and entertaining than the average river rat, but exuding an enormous sense of power and danger even as he joked with them. The Rose was wearily unafraid. She shook her hand at Captain Quelch. We'll meet soon, Horace, in more fulfilling circumstances, perhaps. I'd enjoy a game again, my dear. He licked a reminiscent lip. No more with me, my dear. I have done my service. You'll never retire. None of us ever retires. Captain Quelch cast a knowing eye over at the shifting brackets. Nothing will keep you from the second ether, Rose, or the game. It's in your blood as it's in mine. You could not exist without the taste of terror on your palate. Everything to lose, everything to win. There is one difference between us, she reminded him. And then something close to anger appeared on Captain Quelch's rugged, reprobate's face, and he said quietly, looking at his glass, You can wound a chap, Rose, like nobody else. It's in the nature of the Rose, she said. It's in my blood, Horace. At this he stood up, placing his empty glass between the two brackets. Clearly there's no human warmth here for an old shade. Not much, she said. Not now. He left after winking intimately at Jack Caraquisian. Sine era et studio, eh, old soul? He paused to rebutton his tunic. I trust we'll meet again, sir. I'm looking forward to it, said Jack Caraquisian. His own blood had quickened. He felt his body blossoming into secret and alarming vitality.